Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Metanorn's mini talk on Gargantia on the Virtuous Planet, Episode 10, Island of Ambition. I am Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And we've lost 3 people since our last podcast.
They got eaten by the space squids.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, poor guys.
Hope they come back next time.
Yeah. So, Episode 10. Let's start by talking about Pinion in this episode. A lot of the first segment of this episode was basically Pinion kind of being an asshole. I think the opinion that we've discussed on the podcast is the difference between Pinion and Flange and the approach that they've taken with separating themselves from the Gargantia fleet in pursuing this whale squid nest and the ancient treasures and such that dwell down there. I believe in the past it's generally been agreed upon between us that we thought Flange might be the guy to watch out for, but in this episode we really see that Pinion's taken quite a turn.
Yeah, he's more like, oh, he doesn't care about really anybody but himself, and mm-hmm. The beginning part they find the treasure and he's just like, goes on the radio and just says, you know, we found this treasure, try to come and get it. I was like, why are you doing this? Like, mm-hmm. Why would you do that? That's stupid.
Yeah, Pinion has really took a change in this episode. We kind of thought of him as just a guy that wanted to get revenge for his brother. I don't know how you do that, especially against a whale squid, but all of a sudden, power has gotten to his head. He sees all this ancient weaponry. There was basically a railgun that was that pales in comparison to Chambers' power, but still could really do some major damage against any kind of fleet on Earth. So Pinion is now, he captured some pirates and said, and thought to himself, boy, I could go ahead and maybe recruit these guys. And now they're having fun and he's trying to form his own fleet for to make himself invincible.
Yeah, basically he's forming his own Gargantia. He's got his own, he's got all these powerful weapons. Almost in a way, he doesn't need Red or Leto anymore. He can kind of push him to the side and be like, you know, you did your job, thanks, and I can do the rest now.
Mm-hmm. And let's transfer over to Red during this episode. Most of his time was spent sulking after seeing the shocking news about what the Hideous are, an evolved form of humans. Mm-hmm. And, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for me, it's almost a little bit like a couple of Railgun S episodes when Misaka discovers that these clones are existing. With Red, it's kind of the same thing. He's like, you can't believe what he just learned. It's kind of like mind-screwing him right now. He just still doesn't know how to, I guess, wrap his mind around how to fight. He's technically fighting humans. That's what he looks at it as.
Yeah, and as we've been talking about through this series, his growth as a character, having spent time on Earth, his reaction to it would, in my opinion, maybe be, not in my opinion, in my guesstimation, which I don't think that's a real word, is that he would react very differently had he seen it as a member of the Galactic Fleet. He wouldn't have registered it the same way. He wouldn't have asked himself the same questions that he did in this episode. And what was really interesting is at the end of the episode, you have a robot explaining to a human what being human is.
Right, that was kind of weird. And like you said, mentioned before, since he's been on Earth, he has grown a lot. You know, with Amy and Bellows, they taught him early on that all life is precious, don't kill or just be killing. And that kind of has changed him a little bit. And especially this episode, he's like, oh, well, now he doesn't know what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like he's always known war and fighting and killing. He doesn't know anything else, so it's kind of a shock. He has to, you know, adapt to a new life again.
Yeah, so that's Urobuchi again kind of asking a question about the nature of humans and how what Chamber says does make sense. That and it's something Highway alluded to on the last podcast, is that it doesn't really change much about war. You still have to fight the Hideous because they're evolved to a point to where they just attack.
Right, they're mindless. Mm-hmm. They just attack for the sake of attacking. Almost like Attack on Titan, if you want to get to it. Yeah, the Titans and that, they just attack and eat. Just, it's just what they do. You know, they don't really say why, but it's just what they do.
And then a really shocking scene. Well, shocking, maybe strong, because it's one of those things where in episode one, we had talked about this Commander Kugel, and we said we didn't see him die. We just saw him go away. The assumption would be, well, he's going to fight a losing battle, but now he's here somehow, and it's difficult to say. We don't know the details yet of what Kugel's presence is. Is he still actually alive? How did he get to Earth? What about this new mech that this new machine caliber that looks different, at least in color, to Chamber?
Yeah, and they had those weird worshippers that are like basically worshiping this machine, like it's, I guess, like basically like a god or the, to them. And like you said, for all we know, the commander may not be alive anymore. It could just be the AI machine just still kind of functioning, which might bring up interesting fact, like, okay, well, if you're here, then you know what goes on now. Or is Ray gonna have to fight his own kind?
And what's
Gonna.
interesting about the expansion of the Gargantia world, the Earth, planet Earth, with this new group of worshippers that we see, is that in the early episodes, it felt so contained to Gargantia that you almost wondered what else is out there other than pirates. And I think that's something that throughout moments of the series, I kind of would have liked to seen a little bit, but now it's, there's so many, probably going to be a lot of different, ships and stuff coming out of the woodwork as things heat up.
Yeah, I'm wondering that too. And like, what kind of weapons does the other people possess? You know, what they have besides just the one robot? Yeah.
So some other notes from this episode. I still don't know that girl's name. She's really tan, wears a red sort of tank top and jean
Yeah.
shorts.
Yeah, she was shown a little bit more this week. I don't know who she is either.
Yeah, it's almost like they just gave her lines, and she's a little bit of a klutz.
She's probably the one that's probably end up like getting killed some way and just, you know, sets the ball rolling for a bunch of characters being killed off. That's all I can see.
Yeah, we're as people that are familiar with Butcher Gan, we're still waiting for the death, if that's to come.
Right.
But overall, really interesting episode. The first half, Pinion being an ass, that's kind of a really interesting turn for him. I'm not quite sure if I feel as good about it, but the really interesting stuff with Chamber was good. Fosh.
Yeah, it's almost like Chamber and Red were kind of butt heads. You know, Red has his own new view now, and Chamber's still Galactic Alliance mode right now. He's just like, you know, gotta fight, gotta fight, gotta fight. And he's like basically almost telling Red that, you know, quit bitching and, you know, do your job, almost. So for me, that's pretty much it. I know they had the other girl that was with Amy. She was kind of talking to Flange a little bit about something. I forgot what they're talking about, but
Yeah,
she's worried
Malky.
about. Yeah, she's worried about certain things. And
Yeah,
with Amy, same thing. She's worried about Red and all that, so.
pretty much everybody on the Gargantia fleet, including the people that were around Pinion, had heard the message, and Flange was obviously frustrated with it, and Melty was almost kind of concerned that he agreed with Pinion's ways, but he seems to be in a little bit of a bind because there's some benefit to having Pinion around as a repairman. And also, Ridget mentioned that she would understand if anybody else wanted to leave, which is really interesting.
Yeah, but for now, I think someone just needs to smack a Pinion or punch him in the face or something. Wake him up, because what he's doing is bad, and it's probably gonna get a bunch of people killed if he's not careful. But I just foresee them fixing that gun up and it blowing up, and like, just, you know, it's probably more powerful than he needs. It's dangerous.
All right, so for the Metanorn mini talks next week, I'm going to be away, so we're probably going to be combining 11 and 12 together, which probably makes sense considering that episode 13 is the final. It'll be a big one. Hopefully we'll have another full house to talk about that. So for Fosh, I'm Jero, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See ya.